kid thought it was crazy when someone asked him if he could have his fish and bread. Wonder who could have ever guessed it, that when Jesus broke and blessed it, that thousands were fed. I bet he ran home and said,
oh, believe it when I tell you all that I saw Jesus do. I still can't get over out of all the people he could choose to help him feed the hungry. I can't believe he used my lunch, picked me to go to
he would be a singer, but he's thankful every day. God could use a little gift that he gave him. Tell others all about a Savior and his amazing grace. And if you ask him, he says,
oh, believe it.
Time or two, there were bridges Satan's cross and burn. But through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing I can never lose. If I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside. A joy that I could never hide, and same place upon. If I got Jesus, what I've done is Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain. Oh, he's given me his name. I'm the richest man that I could ever be. If I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside. A joy that I could never hide, in a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. A joy that I could never hide, in a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. If I got Jesus, I got it all. Just need a word from heaven that everything's okay. I try to walk by faith, but sometimes I'm so afraid, and I cannot see how God can make a way. But then I think he's never failed me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice he has not heard. Never failed me, he won't start today, he will make a way. They are real, and I know you feel that God's forsaken you. But child, don't lose your faith, he is working while you wait. So just hold on, he will bring it through.
me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard, never failed me. He won't start today, He will make a way.
hand in mine. Season by season, I watch him amazed in all the mystery of his perfect ways. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. Trial or a pain, he did not recycle to bring me gain. I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting his hand. His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. This is my anthem. This is my song. The theme of the stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful. He will be again. His loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have need of, his hand will. He's always been faithful to me. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me.
Testify, we're training how to worship. Amen? And can I just stop right there? Now, there's a difference between praise and worship. Y'all know that, right? The world can praise God, but you got to be right to worship God. And we need to learn to say amen in our church. Worries me when we pipe down. Get dignified.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nothing wrong with saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You need to practice here because you're going to say a lot in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're in training to raise our hands up to God.
Yeah.
And shout glory.
Yeah.
He's worthy of all of our glory and praise. What the problem is we wasn't taught to.
Right.
Glory.
Yeah.
Glory.
Exactly.
Our children need to be getting used to raising their hands and saying glory.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have no problem being loud in the world, so we shouldn't have no problem in church.
Amen.
Oh, I don't like that loud stuff. Don't go to heaven. It's going to get rowdy in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Because I'm going to be there and I'm going to get pretty rowdy. If I can get rowdy down here, I can get rowdy in heaven.
Yeah.
I think God's going to say, go ahead.
Yeah.
Have you a ball.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten such a burden when this message was given to me for my people in the church. And the burden for the churches all around that were Bible-believing churches.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, they're getting far and few in between.
Yeah.
A lot of churches with Baptist written on the door, but they don't use this book. They don't stand upon the doctrines of the Bible. They want to make up doctrines of the world. But my heart's burdened for the church and the Bible-believing churches around. God broke me when He gave me this message, and the only way I'm going to be able to preach it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. If God will help me help everyone here tonight, it's what the Holy Spirit would want to do, want to happen. I think it'll help us down the road in the future in our churches. The book of Ruth was the eighth book in the Bible. Eight is the number of the new beginnings. You know how I know? Had a dear friend send me a whole book on numbers. I asked him, remember, brother, you mailed me a whole book on papers of numbers. And I looked that up. The number eight means new beginnings. We're going to look at this family that got a second chance. I love second chances, don't you? But the thing is, it came after some great hardships that took place in their families. A lot of things that we go through, I'm just going to be honest with you, and I ain't going to paint a pretty picture about it. Victor told me to be nice this week. A lot of things we go through is from our own silly decisions that we make ourselves. Let's practice. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look in the book of Ruth, what happened here. I hope I asked you, did you see it in the Bible right here? Did you see what was going on right here? Verse number 1 says, it came to pass in the days of Judges ruled that there was, somebody say it.
Famine.
What kind of famine?
A famine.
A famine. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Not the famine. A famine. It wasn't the big one that was going to destroy everything and everything's going to burn up and you had to go to your meal barrel. It was just a famine.
Right.
It came in. One of many that was going to hit their lives.
Yeah.
And in the midst of this famine, some bad decisions were made. Can I give us a little help here tonight?
Yes. Yes.
Don't make a bad decision while in a famine.
Amen.
That will destroy your family's life.
Amen.
That's one thing you want to be ignorant and make a bad decision you got to live with, but it affects your children and your grandchildren and your children's children and children. Amen?
Yes.
You're helping us well.
As I read the scriptures, I'll ask you to put your blinders on of everything outside of the world. Don't focus on me. Power of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. Look at what your Bible's saying. Let's put it in order what happened here now. A famine come to the land.
Yeah.
The second thing they did, they sojourned.
Yeah, that's right.
The third thing I've seen, they continued there. The fourth thing I've seen, they dwelled there, become used to being away from God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Man, it's like preaching the Methodist. They became used to being away from God. 10 years of bad decisions. Verse 3 says, Elimelech died.
Yes.
And Ruth was left without a husband.
Yes.
Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died. And this woman was left a decade of digging graves and crying all night, full of sorrow and bitterness. A family placed in the will of God in Bethlehem, Judah. A family that had promise, had hope. But now there are three broken homes and a woman that was happy as can be is coming home bitter. Why? Why? Because there was a famine. Not at the famine. In the land. If the Lord will let me preach tonight on the title I wrote down here, a famine is not the time to quit faithfulness.
Yeah,
a famine is not a time to quit faithfulness.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, faith is good all the time. Somebody say amen there.
Yes,
but I believe it's more helpful and designed not for the calm times, but for the storms. Faith is for not really for the peace time, but made for the battle.
Amen.
Going to be honest here. We're in a famine now. We're in a famine politically. Have you ever seen such a train wreck that we have in our nation today? It's scary what they're doing with our money in Washington, D.C. They're the farthest thing from being godly that you've ever seen. I believe we're the most ungodly nation now in the face of the earth now. If it wasn't for the Bible-believing churches up and down these hollers, I believe God would have done wiped us plumb clean.
Think about that.
I believe we're in a famine politically, and I got to say this, we're in a famine spiritually.
Yes,
we are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Churches that once stood for God, stood for the Word of God, compromised everything to draw the crowds in. Do you know you can pack this place out and you'd have to put chairs in, you have to be adding on in the next week or two if you bring in the rock and roll music and bring in the strobe light and the fog machines and boy, they're going to call that church.
You're right.
Yeah.
And this is where we're at.
Yes.
Today. They call us the old dried-up Baptist with an old dried-up book. I'm going to tell you, they're the farthest thing from wrong. My Bible's the living Word of God, and the ink is still wet. The blood is still dripping out of my Bible. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm on the winning side. We ain't the dead ones. I can let the world, playing like the world. If I get to do that to get the crowd, I don't want it. I still believe the Holy Spirit's good enough to bring them in. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit's good enough to save them still. And I believe the Holy Spirit's still good enough to keep them. Amen. We're in a famine spiritually. I tell you, I almost had to quit watching Gunsmoke. You had that guy comes on there before Gunsmoke. Says, send me your seed.
Yeah.
Send me your seed if you want to be blessed.
Yeah.
I look for my Bible. I didn't see where I got to send any man on this earth seed for me to be blessed.
That's right.
Send me a $50 seed. It'll come to back fourfold. That's heresy.
Yes, it is.
You're going to stand before an almighty God and give an account for that. Hey, we're in a famine spiritually.
Yes.
I tell you, when you walk into the house of God, you should be able to feel the power of God when you come through the doors.
Yes.
Your hair should start standing up just walking into the house of God without even the Bible read, without the first song sung. You should feel the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And I tell you, if you don't, I'd go find someplace that had it. Amen.
Yes.
And it ain't going to come in a strobe light. It ain't going to come in a smoke machine. Amen. I ain't here to entertain you. I'm here to preach the Word of God to you.
Amen.
We're in a famine spiritually. I'm telling you.
Amen.
We're in a famine economically. I mean, you can't even go to the grocery store and buy groceries now. What are we going to do? Are we just going to quit? Are we just going to abandon the Lord because things are so tough? Are we going to be a modern-day Eliminate?
Think about that.
The Bible says this in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Yes,
sir.
Folks, we ain't had it hard yet.
That's right.
But it's coming.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
you can bank on it. There's no time, Dad. There's no time to flee when a famine comes. Mom, there's no time to leave the faithfulness of God. It's not time to quit reading your Bible and praying and serving the God. There's not time to do that.
Right.
If we can't hold the ground now, when we're not in such a bad shape, what is our children going to do spiritually when it really gets tough?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Come on.
See, they're already, I told you this earlier, they're trying to ban this Bible. Now, they're not trying to ban the Muslim Bible. They're not trying to ban it or the Buddhist Bible. They're not trying to ban any of those liberal Bibles that has come off the King James. It's just the King James Bible they want to get rid of. It's what they call it. And they're going to get on board. It's going to happen. It's going to come to the place that to own this Bible is going to be a felony.
Yeah.
A famine is not a time to quit faithfulness.
Amen.
Our children's lives are at stake.
Yes, they are.
Famine's not time to quit faithfulness. We can't quit. We can't leave it. Let me go over here to read you a verse of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? If that land of peace wherein thou trustest, then thou weary thee, then how will it be when the swelling of the Jordan?
Yeah.
Can I put that in Hickenese? How are we going to make it in the good times if we're not making it in the good times when it really gets bad?
Right.
A famine is not a time to quit faithfulness.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I see a lot of people leaving over nothing.
Yes, sir.
In our churches today.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do when your finances is turned upside down? What are you going to do when your family is turned upside down? A famine will affect your flesh. It affects the flesh is what it does. It shouldn't affect the spirit, but the flesh is what it attacks. It will lead you in despair. Can I tell you, a famine is not easy. It's not easy to overcome. But a famine is not a time to quit faithfulness.
That's right. That is right.
Why would we abandon the only hope that we have? Just asking. We have, a lot of people have. Yet I see every day a famine will hit and folks will do the very same thing and will destroy their families. I've seen it. Time after time after time. A little famine come into their lives or come into the church, they gather up their marble. I already got one tonight. And they go down the road and play somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? What I think don't matter. What you think don't matter.
Amen.
My feelings don't matter.
Amen.
Your feelings don't matter. Oh, that's mean.
That's true.
It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about us.
Amen.
Church is not about us. It's all about Him.
Amen.
See, we take our eyes off Him and put it on us. There's our problem.
Amen.
The famine comes. Why would we leave the only help we have? Have to get this settled. Just got to get it settled now. God's still on the throne, right?
Yes, sir.
Is He still in control?
Yes, sir.
Because I just didn't want to miss that if something happened.
No, you're still right.
So we're going to obey the Lord. We're going to live to the Holy Spirit and move through our famine. We're not going to quit faithfulness. We're going to push forward, right?
Right.
Why is churches closing left and right? Why are churches compromising left and right? What's going on? Because our nation has gone crazy, we think we can go crazy too? Hey, a famine is not a time to quit faithfulness. Should not be a debate. Can I make this clear? This is my statement here. Should not be a debate that a child in a mother's womb is alive.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
It was alive before he even formed in the mother's belly. God knew who John was before he was even in the mama's belly.
Amen.
But yet we make that a great decision in a nation that is in a famine.
Right.
Yes. I've seen one of them heretics on TV. She was having a birthday party for the baby that she had aborted. She was having 53 birthdays for him, celebrating the death of their babe, her babies. Hey, there's a special place in hell for somebody like that. I don't care what she wants to think she's doing. I don't care what her rights is. I don't care what her feelings is. My friend, God will not put up with that. There's going to be a special... If she don't come to Jesus, God will save her if she'll turn from her evil ways.
Amen.
Amen. We're in such a bad shape. I'm going to tell you, they're putting this push on our children, this transgender nonsense they got going on now. In Beckley, they're allowing these drag shows for little kids, little boys. The city approved that. The city of Beckley approved for them to dress their little boys up like women and press them down the stage, and they're all just clapping and say, oh, ain't that the beautiful thing in the world? They're going to hell in a handbasket and they're glad about it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this transgender stuff.
Yeah.
Want to push it on me to call them a woman. And if I don't call them ma'am or missus, they're going to go get the police officer and have me arrested because I offended them. I don't care.
Me neither, babe.
Go get you a blood test. Bring your blood sample to me. Let me read what the blood sample says, and that's what I'm going to call you.
Amen.
I love how the blood tells it.
Yeah.
They can't change the blood.
They're trying
to pump all kinds of chemicals in her body to change her DNA. It's still there. They can't change it.
Amen.
And they're pushing this on our children so much.
Yep.
We're in a famine.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I seen on TV the other day when they had the perverts on parade when they was all marching down the streets with their little rainbow flags on. And boy, I tell you, it was a sickening looking crowd.
Amen.
They need Jesus.
Yes,
I love every one of them, but they need to get saved.
Yes.
I'll pray for them, but they need to get saved.
Yes, amen.
Parading themselves down the street ain't helping their cause none. They need to get to a local Bible-believing church that stands on the Word of God and not tell them, you're all right the way you are, poor little thing.
Right.
Well, I was born this way. Okay, that's good. All right, I'll go with that. You was born in sin.
Right.
But when you get born again, you're going to change that nonsense.
Yes.
That's my stance.
Yes, amen.
That's my opinion.
Yes.
Such a corrupt government. Boy, when they just open their mouth, you know they're lying.
Yes.
Hoping the world is falling
yes.
short. We're in a famine. Famine's not easy to go through. I hate to see this happen in families. I hate to see when it happens. But it's happening all around us. Can't see when churches start to compromise to appease people, to make people happy. Can I tell you, you ain't going to never make people happy. I learned that the hard way. If I preach too loud, somebody says, one person can just say, oh, you're too loud, I don't like it. So I kind of quieten it down. Everybody says, I don't like that soul preaching. So you try to change somewhere, change here, change there. And the greatest thing, but God, I don't even see your thermostat here. Oh, on the back wall back here. Oh, boy. I wish that had as much concern about that here on the altar as that does back on the wall.
Amen.
Amen.
We're in such a famine, we can't praise God when it's too hot.
Right.
We can't praise God when it's too cold. You know when the big revivals was coming through America, they were sitting on wooden flats in a church with no air conditioning, no heat, and they was rejoicing in the Lord. They didn't have nothing. They was happy about it.
Amen.
We're in a famine, boy, I'm telling you.
Yes, we are.
You know, the devil's leading this compromise program right into hell, it seems like. It's not easy to preach on sin because people hate you. How many hate letters you got down through the years, Mark?
Terrible.
Yeah, they're nice, ain't they?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I was going to bring them back out and pray for them, ain't I? You start touching on sin that people's in, boy, they'll get right mean against you. It's hard to preach against sin. Nobody says amen. So amen! But now's not the time to quit faithfulness. Now's when we need to anchor in faithfulness. Right now is when we need to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Says, I can't hold on to you. You just need to hold on to me tighter, Lord, because it's getting bad down here.
Yeah.
Just look at the book of Ruth again. Back in the Word of God. Elimelech lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Most of y'all probably researched this out. Bethlehem means the blessed of God. So he lived in a place that was blessed of God. Judah means the house of bread. God will provide the bread. So Elimelech lived in a place that was blessed by God and provided bread. Boy, it sounds like a good place to be, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Why would anybody want to leave a place like that? And Elimelech's name means God is king. And if you look it up in Hebrew, it means a blessed man.
Right.
So Elimelech is a blessed man. He's heard about the goodness of God. He's witnessed the goodness of God. But what happened? Elimelech was frail spiritually, and his flesh controlled him in his decision making.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This happens all the time.
Yes, sir.
When you get frail spiritually, the flesh starts to come in and take control. Elimelech lived during the time of the judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. We can read that in the Bible. Everything is good until the pocketbook starts to fill it. Why is it that this controls our life? It controls everything about us. You know what Elimelech said in his household that day? He says, boy, it's time for me to just go ahead and take matters in my own hands. Boy, when you start thinking like that, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
I don't care how bad it gets. When you decide you need to take your life out of God's hands, you're heading for trouble. You're on a downhill slope then. Now notice this. Well, why is this in our lives today? I'm just going to meddle just a little bit today. Why is it when things start to get tight, we gather around in our house and we talk with our wives and you talk with your husband and you're going to go down a checklist of things you're going to start cutting out. Why is it you don't cut out the baseball games?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen!
The travel ball!
Amen.
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 Dressing your little girl up like I'm going to say it nicely, a harlot.
Yeah.
And parading her out there on the field. How come you don't cut that out? That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Why is it the first thing you'll cut is church? Well, preacher, I can't come on Wednesday night. Gas is so high.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night but they run everywhere else. Why is church the only thing that you want to cut when it gets tight?
Amen. Amen.
When the house of God is where you're getting your help, where you're getting blessed, where you're getting your bread, and you want to cut it out. Hey, we're in a famine in our land.
Amen.
It's another time to quit faithfulness. His nation, his name, would not change his nature. He was weak. That was his nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here in our churches today, we'll cut everything out. We won't cut the world out, but we'll cut church out. And you know what happens? Your whole family ends up in Moab down there.
Yeah. Amen.
You're dwelling in Moab, away from God. Are we having fun yet?
Yeah.
He was weak. He was weak spiritually, and he let the flesh control him. He let a famine come into his life. And he's going to take that famine, and he's going to get out of Dodge. And we can see what happened 10 years away from God. And his wife, all she did was dig graves.
Yeah.
Mourn for the lost in her family.
Yeah.
Oh, God won't do that. God will not do that when you break fellowship with Him. He won't do nothing like that. He's a loving God.
Yes, He will.
Let me tell you a little story what happened. I was at Mascot and I had two women get in an argument. And this went on for a little while. And I met with one. I said, listen, this ain't right with God. You need to get this thing right. You need to ask God to forgive you, then go ask them to forgive you. Well, I didn't do nothing wrong. It doesn't matter. You're wrong already because it's affected you. I went to them and told them the same thing. And it kept boiling up. You see, my problem was I failed God because I should have just churched them and throwed them out until they got things right.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I said, well, they're two saved people. Surely goodness, they're going to act like Christians. Well, I'll never do them make that mistake again.
Yeah. Right.
There you go. Finally, one went to the other one and says, I'm sorry. And then she wouldn't accept her apology. So she gathered up her coalition and she started going around whispering. I could see through the glass doors back there, and they got a little coalition back here now. They get ready to make their jump. So they go and they start pulling their family out, their moms and their dads away from the house of God, their uncles and their aunts away from the house of God. And when they made the decision that they met with me one last time, said, if you don't throw her out, we're leaving. I said, you're in worse shape than she is.
Right.
They bounced out the back door. See, if you can't stand in front of the church when it's time to leave and tell the church you love them and embrace everybody, God's got me going somewhere else, and you've got to sneak out the back door, you're in the land of Moab.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I wish I could paint it prettier.
Amen.
I wish you could, but it ain't.
That's good.
Well, they bounced. Every one of those people, they pulled away. And they what happened? They broke fellowship with the house of God. They broke fellowship with God.
Amen.
They can run down the road and join another church, but they still got a problem back here where there's a broken relationship with.
Yes, amen.
That's the way it works.
Yes, amen.
The way it works.
Yes, amen.
In a sight of 2.5 years, was it 2.5 years? About you? Every one of those people they pulled out of God, away from the house of God, had a broken relationship, God died. And we're talking 4 or 5 people. In about a two and a half year span, that broke away and left, died suddenly in their sleep, a heart attack, a sickness fell upon them, and they died. I'm telling you, this is serious business here. When you get away from God, you got a broken relationship, you're living down in Moab, God ain't going to put up with that.
Amen.
This message here is to help us get an idea that we need to start praying like we ain't never prayed for those living in Moab.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Man, it gets quiet, don't it?
Well, you're helping.
You know, I'll say it like this. Being in the will of God is hard. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's rough at times. Amen? But it's still the best place to be. Rough, hard, it doesn't make no difference. It's still the best place to be in the will of God. Sometimes you got to swallow your pride. Sometimes you got to swallow that pride and say, it's my fault, I'm sorry. But in today's time, we're not taught humility anymore. We're not taught to say, I'm sorry. It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Come on. He was brought up in faith, but his life didn't show it. When a patch of hard times come, that's when it should show the faith in God. He should have stood solid with God. But you know what? When you got to stand there and say, God, I'm going to take the wheel. I don't like the way you're driving me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He uprooted his family. Went away from God. He went away from a blessed place. A place where God provides the bread. And settled in Moab. Now listen to this evil place. Now he took his family. He went left away from the blessed place. A place where God provides the bread, and he went down to Moab, this evil place down there. Down in Moab, down there is where they sacrifice children.
Yeah.
Down there in Moab.
Yeah.
That's where the prostitutes were preaching in the temples.
Yes.
Down there at Moab.
Yes.
And he took his family down there and thought he was going to get better help down there than in the will of God. Does that sound like...
Does that sound like today?
The times we're living today. I believe Ruth was written last week, right?
Yeah.
Reminds me of a lot of folks I know today. Here's what happened. Daddy got out of the will of God, and the family dug graves and cried themselves asleep for 10 years.
Yes.
Doesn't matter when you get out of the will of God, Daddy, it sure does. Your family's going to pay the price.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, Jesus gave up on faith. And faith, I'm going to say this. Faith is not really for the easy times. I know faith is all around. We have faith in everything, but I'm going to tell you, when do you use your faith the most? Not on the mountaintop, but in the deep valleys when you start using that faith. I'm going to tell you, it's not when you're well and your blood pressure's right and your heart's ticking right and you don't have no kidney stones. Hey, it's when you're sick is when that faith comes into play. It's not for those whose family is all intact. It's for that one standing beside the casket after you lost a loved one.
Yeah.
Faith is there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory.
Yeah.
Glory.
Amen, preacher.
Boy, I'd like to go back in time. Wish I had a time machine.
Yeah.
I'd go back and I'd wrap my arm around the limanac and says, I'd have to ask him, where did God fail you? Just give me one example where God didn't provide. Just give me one example where He wasn't there for you. I just want one example before you leave the exit and exit the mercy of God. Give me one good reason why you would leave God's will.
Yeah.
What a testimony. Not long after leaving God, Elimelech dies out of the will of God. And after that, his two sons die out of the will of God. I know folks that listened to the ungodly, left their Bethlehem, Judah, and died out of the will of God. That will be their testimony for their children's children's children. How Mama and Papa left the will of God, mad about something that didn't matter, and gone.
Amen. Amen.
Out of the will of God. You know, after they abandoned God's will, they found out that the famine was much worse down in Moab.
Yes.
If you ask anybody that left the will of God and they'd be truthful, they said it's the worst time they've ever lived. Their life has been shattered. Everything has happened to them while they're out of the will of God. And they'll tell you, boy, they wish they never left
the
will of God. Faith, a phantom is not a time to leave faithfulness.
Yeah.
God brought the famine in and He'll end it. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. Now,
amen.
Three things about this man. Look at the root of his condition. Look at the name of his children, Mahlon. You know what that means? Sickly. Chilion means pining away. Now, he named his children back in the blessed land where God was providing bread. See, he was always looking for the negative things. When God's blessed them, let's look for the negative. Let's be critical on everybody else. Let's be critical about what goes on. Let's be critical about this and about that. Can't find no good. The songs ain't good no more. The preaching ain't good no more. I believe I just assume leave the will of God and go down to Moab. It's got to be better down there.
Mama.
You know, just looking through the Word of God, He named His children like He did. He named His children such bad names back in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. When things are good, but His face shows He's weak, He's looking for an excuse to leave or quit.
Yeah.
There was a root of unfaithfulness. You know what? A famine did not make him unfaithful. It revealed it. Amen. Does that make sense to you? When a famine comes into the land, it reveals the weakness of their spiritual state. You let a little problem or famine come, and it'll reveal who don't have faith in God.
Amen.
Or have faithfulness in God. They believe in God, but their faithfulness is weak.
Amen.
Oh, they'll blame God. They'll blame everybody around to take the attention off themselves and their unfaithfulness. You know, when this started, when there was bread on the table and being blessed of God, the bills were all paid. The root is still there. They're looking for a reason to bounce. They're looking for a reason to skedaddle.
Yeah.
The ones that show unfaithfulness during the famine are not thankful when the good times are there neither.
Think about that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Bills are all paid. Everybody's well. Everything's going good. But they're not thankful. Don't have to get quiet on me. You can shout, I mean.
You're helping us preach.
Look at the revelation of unfaithfulness. There was a famine in the land, but according to the Bible, only one family left. I don't read where nobody else said. I don't read where there was a migration away from Bethlehem, Judah. Just one family left. The rest stayed and stuck it out.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, after verse 5, God brought Ian to the famine and the bread came back. It wasn't long. It was just a famine.
Yeah.
It wasn't the famine. It was just a famine. What was the result of a famine and not being faithful? They died in a foreign land out of the will of God. Your home, your church is in danger.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to stand and fight, or are you going to sojourn down the Moab?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your family's at risk. One bad decision brought 10 years of sorrow.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe we need to stay and have faith in the Lord?
Yeah.
Just out of this little message that God gave me, maybe we need to pray like we had never prayed before for those in the land of Moab right now.
My mind.
It hasn't been revealed. God is there's saved people out there that has left the will of God, and they think God is on their side. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is blinding in this matter. He's blinding and draw them out and destroy them.
Yes.
10 years of sorrow over one bad decision. If we can ask God to give us wisdom how to pray for them down in Moab. Give us the burden that we will not let up praying for those in the land of Moab.
Amen.
They're in danger, folks. Children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are in danger.
Yes, they are.
Maybe tonight. I know this wasn't a fiery message, but it's one that God laid on my heart. Maybe we just need to gather around the altar and just start praying for those in Moab.
Yeah.
There ain't a church around out at Virginia Street. I've got them out in Moab right now. Here at Virginia, at Mount State, I guarantee you, there's people at Moab right now.
Yes, sir.
Are we just going to leave them down there? Are we going to let them in sorrow and suffer? Are we going to have a burden for them and start praying for them? I think we need to ask God to help us pray. Ask God to give us the courage to pray and not pray once or twice, but continue in praying for them in Moab. You might have daughters, sons. You might have sisters or brothers down in the land of Moab. They know what God's will is. They know how good God is. They've been provided by the hand of God, but yet a little famine come in and they departed the faith. Went down to the land of Moab. Just maybe, if you ask God to start revealing some folks that are struggling right now down in that land, God's going to show them to you. Be like a Rolodex going off in your mind as it's going and all these names are coming up. And you need to pray for them. You need to get a burden for them and pray for them. Reach out to them and tell them you love them. Never, ever give up on them. while they're in the land of Moab. So much in Moab right now. Blinded. Their mind focus is not upon the will of God. It's upon what they've been through. The negativity in their life. They're not looking for the will of God. Sister Cheryl, if you could make it up here. Start praying softly. We got folks praying here at this altar, and they're pouring their heart out to the Lord here right now. Maybe you're here right now. I'd ask you to just bow your head, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here right now and you're lost. Or you have some doubt about your salvation. I don't know you. You don't know me. But maybe you're here right now and you're struggling with being saved. You want to get this thing settled. Right now's a good time. Go ahead, sis, whenever you get a chance. Maybe this is slide out of your seat. Maybe ask somebody, would you go with me? I need to go pray. Maybe you've been saved, but boy, you just haven't been living like you need to be. God still spoke to your heart. Would you just come out? Thank God for the prodigal son. He had to go all the way to the old man before he came to himself. And boy, when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. Boy, how the father was waiting for him. Maybe he just needed to come. Maybe he needed to come. Sure about your salvation. Just let out. I tell you, I beg you, don't leave this building lost. Don't go out on a profession. Their profession will never change you. You're still hanging out with the same friends. You're still doing all the same things you used to do before you had your profession. If you're still doing that, my friend, that's all you got. It's a profession. Salvation will change you. God's dealing with hearts. Feel the Holy Spirit that's bouncing off the walls. I know He's here. I know He's working. Again, I'll go through my plan of salvation. Got people watching on Facebook that's lost. Can't tell me this thing's reaching all the way around the world. Could be one soul just driving somewhere in the pastor seat watching this program, or sitting in their home alone, everybody's gone, and God's speaking to their heart. By faith, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, paid that awful debt. By faith, you believe He rose again on the third day, bodily resurrected. That's what Easter is all about, the resurrection of our Savior. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask Jesus to save you right now. A little prayer goes like this. If you want to repeat that prayer, mean it with all your heart. God, He'll honor it. If you say it by faith, He'll honor that prayer. It's Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose again on the third day. I'm a sinner. Save me right now. I'm asking the name of Jesus. Well, if you said that prayer, well, it's your name came out of the column of hell, going to hell, and you're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, is what I call it up there in heaven, the Book of the Redeemed. One of these days, there's going to be a roll called up yonder. Your name's going to be on it.